got your chanting voice on?
This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, unmeeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Is everyone cool enough? Still pretty warm for early April, but yes, it is very nice. It's quite dry. It's quite dry, but very pleasant. Yeah, I like the hot weather, so it's all right for me. Climate change is working for me at the moment. So. I just spoke to Ajahn Brahm on the phone just before, so if you want to extra dose of this, you can come down to Armidale Group tomorrow. I'll be doing the regular Armidale shift, so my shift on the Armidale Group, and so it'll all be good. Bit of a hangout for a while. So tomorrow we've got a big meeting. Dennis Shepherd, the president of the Buddhist Society. And we've got Tony Edelston from the Department of Parks and Wildlife. And we've got Dennis Shepherd, the president of the Buddhist Society, I mentioned him. And who I missed? Oh, and Ralph. Ralph is our bushfire consultant. So wish us well for that meeting tomorrow. We're trying to jump through another hoop and get the stables built out. So we'll have a little house out there for the monks, and you might get a few more different teachers, because we'll have hopefully have a few monks down that way, and it won't just be me and Santucci doing all the teaching. So we'll see how we go,
Electric ski lift.
An electric ski lift, that's right. Oh yeah, ski lift's a great idea, yeah. Yeah, we'll mention that to the council. That we're very happy, that block of apartments. But we've been working quite hard around here. Not working very hard, but enjoyable work. Myself and Santucci and our resident Hanagarika Rob and Jan. We're doing various projects around the temple here, because while we're waiting to organise our development approval across the road, we have lots of time on our hands. So we're hanging around here, so it's been quite enjoyable. If you come here in the daylight, you can have a look at the back here. We've replaced the big pile of bricks with some natives on the slope down there, and some nice jasmine, so it'll look nice. And I was sort of contemplating a box of tea today in the kitchen, and it said. It's an old saying. It says your body is your temple, right? Yeah, keep it pure. So, but there's another way of looking at it. Your temple is your temple. There's a temple here. So so it's nice just to have the option to do a few jobs around the place, and under Ajahn Santucci's guidance, under his. He's the big picture guy around here, so it's really nice the way this building, sort of this sort of area, this property, the buildings around here, they just get a little improvement every day. So you get a little couple of shelves in the laundry, keep all the laundry basket and stuff out of the way. We put new locks on the toilets. You'll find them all. You'll find it's much easier now to tell whether someone's in there, which is nice. And we had a fellow come and painted the doors on the outdoor out here. So we've got nice little olive colored doors now instead of institutional green. And what else have we done? I think he went over a few skirting boards, and Santetti's bought me a special tool, which I'm very happy about, which is the cobweb getter now, so it's out there. I think we'll go up and get all the cobwebs happily now, instead of using we've got feather duster, which is going to be clogged with webs and stuff. So that's how we look after our temple here, and it's also how we practice meditation. So. Ajahn Chah, I suppose everyone knows who Ajahn Chah is. Does anyone not know who Ajahn Chah is? Okay, cool, that's right. It's all the regulars, so we know you all. So Ajahn Chah was talking about his Western disciples when they came to the monastery. And he was saying that the local ties there, so often, you know, people from the this is in the early 70s, so. There are a lot of monks there, Thai monks from the villages, and they might be spending their days farming rice and looking after the water buffalo and that sort of thing. And then all of these overeducated Westerners came in and started asking lots and lots of questions. And Ajahn Chah said about the difference there. He said, these villages, you know, they it's kind of like they have a very small house. But to like clear it out and make it clean and everything is actually a very small job. And he said for these Westerners, that like they have this big mansion and it's all full of junk and there's so much work. But he said once you've actually cleaned out all the junk and cleaned up all the spiderwebs and dusted everything, then it's actually a very, very big, very nice place to be. You've got this big mansion of a mind. Anyway, that's what Ajahn Chah said. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's an interesting story. So, but it does sort of tie in with this idea of just sort of, you know, gradually working with the mind to, overcome the hindrances to just all of these. All of these the various things that we need to let go of in meditation. That's kind of the motivation we have, is we know that when we're, if we do this for over the years, for a long period, for a long, long time, then you'll find, you know, that this this mind is a really nice place to be. And, I know we've over the last couple of times I've taught here, I sort of looked at a little bit of body sweeping and a bit of metta. I remember the name. That was Sharon Salzberg, who wrote the book on loving kindness. So if anyone really wants to know how to do loving kindness meditation, then you should see if you can find a copy of her book. I don't know that we've got one in the library. I haven't seen it as we've gone through, but if you can ferret it out. All of these sort of books and techniques are quite useful, but I think possibly the practice that I talked about a while ago, which is like the comfortable silence, I think that actually is one of the most enjoyable techniques that I've taught here. And it's not really much of a technique, it's just sitting here in meditation and just being content, being happy just to be with your friends here and the nice people who come every week, and to just to make peace with whatever comes into the mind, and just to relax. I don't feel there's much more instruction that you need, and a lot of practice, it comes naturally, and it's very easy to take up a meditation object after that, or not even after that, but these things tend to happen by themselves once you've cultivated a certain amount of inner stillness. So, do you have any questions? Does anyone have anything they'd like to ask about? Or shall we just dive in? We'll have a nice meditation. Does that sound good? And I know Bill said he had a little bit of trouble hearing me last week, so I will be saying a few words throughout the meditation. And I think next time you come, when I'm here, bring a tennis ball, right? And if you can't hear me, just throw the tennis ball. Dunk on the head, then that'll make sure. But no, maybe just point at your ear or something like that. Anyway, the tennis ball idea might be good. I don't know, could be fun.
I'm good back here and I'm pretty deaf.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're good. So I think Bill's under the... So the acoustics in this room are different to everyone. Yeah, you're under the air conditioner again. So. But it's all good. At least it'll be nice and cool. Okay. So that's good. That's very good. Okay. I've got enough light here to see my clock. So we can begin meditation. And in order to develop the inner stillness, I need to spend just a few minutes letting the body become still. And that means if you have anything to scratch, or you need to adjust your posture or anything like that, just take a few minutes. Make sure you're comfortable in the body. And relax. For the mind to stop, for it to become still, it has to slow down first, gradually. Just like an old clock winding down, just be content to let it gradually slow down and unwind. us be content to let the mind wind down. All the busyness of the day, just gotta give it time, lots of time. Just enjoying the feeling of resting the mind. Just doing nothing at all. And whatever's going on in the mind, just let it be. This is good enough. Thank you. nothing to do. Just winding down, winding down. Okay, so time for a soft, gentle landing back into the present moment. Come to the end of meditation. I will rock, ring the bed, gong 3 times. Please wait until the very last ding, and then you can come out of your meditation. Reflecting on the fact that over 30 minutes we all have our own journey, you know. So I think meditation's different for each individual. They're different every time you sit as well. It's kind of like being on an airplane here. with the cold air blasting on me. So Santini sent it down to 18 degrees. It's like being on what Ajahn Brahm calls Buddha air. Buddha air. Hop on the plane. The plane takes off. You don't have to do anything. The flight attendant comes with your meal and your hot towels for your face or whatever. At the end of the journey, you land again. But I really like this little room here now. I think it's probably going to get a few more improvements with Sukakama coming back tonight. I think Ajahn Santuti and Sukakama are very good at working together and improving this hall. So we've given it a lick of paint, we've got a new door, and I'm sure there'll be some new changes, but I think it works very well as a meditation area. So you're all very comfortable in here, and if there's very nice place. Does anyone have any questions or suggestions or complaints or compliments? Compliments? Any of the above? Yeah.
If you paint the wall of the back gold, it would look superb.
Gold, yeah. I think Santuti probably does have a plan for that back wall. Timber, yeah. Well, that's what they did in the dining room there, where the monks eat. Although today we decided to go and eat outside on the patio, so we at the terrace, because we were expecting the singers group that comes here on a Monday, and we'd already put the. It's alright.
I just remembered. Sorry, my memory's getting worse. I forgot to tell you that we weren't coming. Sorry.
Oh, when? Yeah, someone told Santuti.
Oh,
Santuti.
But I meant to tell you sort of before today.
It's all good. It's all good. So we put our seats out on the terrace today. It's just such a beautiful day. We sat out there, and it's great because you don't have to vacuum afterwards, because the ants will come and take away all the crumbs. And we had some lovely food and lovely day. But yes, no, the they did use some plywood to use as a backing in there, which worked quite well. So I think maybe they had the same sort of plan here. I don't know. And but you got good lighting in here. You can dim it and. I just have to remember to speak up a little bit, but
we can use our PA system that was
donated
a while back.
Sure,
I
know.
We used to use it.
It might be an idea, but the person speaking once. I know at Bodnyana now they've got a little microphone around Ajahn Brahm's neck. And he always makes a joke about being strangled. But we also have we also broadcast the talk, you see. We broadcast the talk on FM radio, but just in the hall. So for the monk, the old monks there that are hard of hearing, like Sangharatana and Ajahn Sangharatana and our long-term resident Amanda's, they have their little FM radio, and they can just tune into the talk as well. Little things, some little bit of technology. When the chairs are comfortable, people who like to sit up against the wall have got their back against the wall, yeah. I think Santuti was also talking about maybe making a box over there where the cushions are. So we might have the cushions underneath and a little box people can sit on as well. So that's good, yeah. It's always fun, actually, just to make yourself, even at home, make yourself a little area that's just for meditation, even if it's just the corner of your bedroom or something like that. And Ajahn Brahm says that, Like people in Singapore, they just laugh at us in Australia when we say we don't have enough room for a meditation place. You know, they're living in these postage stamp sized apartments, and they can always find a little spot. So, and just make a bit personal for yourself. And yeah, I think Ajahn Santuti also is quite has a nice little subtle trick of. Because a number of people have brought Buddha Rupas over the years, you know, the statues, Buddha statues, we call them Buddha Rupa, and he always swaps them around from time to time so people can, you know, people come and go, oh, it's mine up there. So, yeah, we've got a whole library full of Buddha images in there. And has anyone been using the library? Has anyone been... doing any reading? I know Jamie's been in there, and Sarah's in there. So there's lots of good books to read. We have a section there for books you can take home, I think. And
yes.
Can sign out and that sort of thing. So so it's always it's nice, you know, just to reflect on this place, and so it's actually a very good place for practice. Very good place to. Come and meet nice people and eat really nice food. we always eat really good food. Today was good. Yeah, tea came along and so yeah, very happy here. Yeah, Bob.
You never do mantra.
Mantras, no. So I do sort of. If you think about it, I probably did like 15 different mantras today. Like, you know, this is good enough. Yeah, you can use mantras. They're not such a bad idea at all, actually. I was talking about someone who's feeling generous can go out and get Loving Kindness by Sharon Salzberg and then donate it to the library, and the more we can all find out. But her style of was it?
Making sure that Lauren can remember the title.
Yeah, Loving Kindness by Sharon Salzberg. Yeah, and that's actually a very structured teaching there. So it's a kind of meditation that goes through a number of steps and uses mantras. So a mantra is basically just a word or a short phrase that you can use throughout the meditation, perhaps repeating it over and over again or just occasionally. I find it's also something you can use when you are practicing the sort of silent mind, you know, this idea of silent present moment awareness that Ajahn Brahm talks about. You can always just from time to time use a mantra, but I suppose it depends on the practitioner. Some people will find that it works to just say it again, like every few seconds, and that's fine too. Or even in, even along with the breath as well. You know, like the old Thai master, like Ajahn Tate, would often talk about using Bhutto as a mantra. So Bhutto, is like a. If you're from Thailand, then that's like a word that you'd really understand, or it would mean something to you. It basically just means, yeah, the awakened one, the Buddha, you know, Bhutto. So you can breathe in, Bhutto. And that can actually has quite a nice resonance, actually, in the chest as well, if you say it out loud. I like Ajahn Brahm's. This is good enough. I used that for a long time myself, actually. I used it as a mantra, but while doing walking meditation. And if people are interested in doing walking meditation, it's something that works quite well with a mantra. If you don't know what walking meditation is, does anyone not know what walking meditation is generally? No, everyone's good. That's good. You guys are all easy. Easy crowd. Yeah. Well, you can use for a long time I was doing a lot of walking meditation. I just use the mantra, this is good enough. but at the same time using that to cultivate contentment. And while I don't do a lot of walking meditation these days, contentment is a really big part of my practice. So when I hear the words, this is good enough, I've trained myself over the years to remind myself of that. And to remind myself of Ajahn Brahm's teachings on, you know, just letting go of the negativity and just reflecting on the 70% rule. You know the 70% rule? Uh-huh. Okay, well, we've got a few more Ajahn Brahm books in the library now from Mahinda. So he purchased a few from the double local library. They're in there. So I think this one's in there. And I lost my place now. We're talking about
negative. The 70%.
The 70% rule, of course. Thank you. Yeah. So when Ajahn Brahm was a teacher, so before he was a Dharma teacher, he was a school teacher. He actually did has a master's in theoretical physics from Cambridge University, first class honours, and he finished his degree in theoretical physics and decided that. Pretty much all the jobs involved building nuclear bombs. So I decided I didn't want to do that. So I went off and became a school teacher after that. Possibly one of the most highly overqualified science school teachers you're going to come across. But what he learned in the education, in the field of education there in Britain was that when you set a test for the children, you set a test that's not so hard not so easy that everyone gets 100%, and not so hard that no one passes it, because it's a little bit disheartening when you get a very poor mark in your schooling. And so they said to create the test, to write the test such that most people are going to get about 70%. So what Ajahn Brahm then says, he says, you know, when you're practicing, he says, you just have to remember, in any part of life, you just remember, 70%, good enough. This is good enough. Got my 70%. I passed. I did okay. And that's just the just really how you look at life. Yeah. So very nice teaching. That's my approach to mantras. I'm a little bit more informal with my meditation, and that's fine. I mean, like I said, Sharon Salzberg's book is very structured and actually talks about going through the various people you might spread metta to. So starting with how does it start? Someone starting with, does she start with yourself? Like, I don't know. She starts with it.
Yes.
She does. And Ajahn Brahm says, because that's the person that's easiest to spread metta to. And then Ajahn Brahm says, turns it all around and says, actually, spreading metta to yourself is probably the hardest part. So that's just Ajahn Brahm's take on things. So, mantras are really good for metta meditation. And just if you particularly want to contemplate something, I know. Ajahn Chittamalo was... does anyone know Ajahn Chittamalo? Anyone remember Ajahn Chittamalo? Do you know Ajahn Chittapalo?
Yeah.
You know Chittapalo? Okay, so Ajahn Chittapalo has a brother called Ajahn Chittamalo. Now, he left Bodhnyana, I think, back in... how long was it ago? 2007 or something? He's got his own monastery in Germany now, a place called Muttergeier. And he was a very tough monk. He was very into his... the very tough Thai practice, and he'd meditate. When he was doing walking meditation, he'd take one step and he'd say, "I will die." And the second step, "That's for sure." So there you go. There's a whole range of mantras out there for you to try. You don't really have to worry too much about death contemplation like the Thai Ajahns, but it's there if you want one bit of variety. So there you go. Okay. It's 8 o'clock. Does anyone want to sneak in a last question, or is it time to go with the chanting? We can go home.
I have something.
Oh, you have one more question.
The Shire of Cosmos, I'm having a lanky.
are having it on the 4th of May down at Rushton Park.
We know, yes.
They're giving away
native plants.
10 per person.
We saw that, yeah. I think we've even pinned the notice on the board over
and
it.
And they'll be giving information about
it. Yeah. I think Santonio will probably be trying to get a ride that day, so. You think I'm joking? I think he's already booked like this. Yeah, you have to show up. Yeah, so if you are in the local area. Oh, yeah.
It's on the topic of meditation on death. Have you tried, like, you know, in, I believe it's in the Dharma Pada, it says one should meditate on a corpse.
Yes. But we don't, that's true, but we're, generally it's not something that's encouraged for us to talk about, especially when we're teaching lay people. But it is definitely, there's like the, if you go to the, even just have a look at the Satipatthana Sutta, it actually lists the different contemplations there, going all the way through to like just the dust of the bones, blowing them in. And the Thai forest tradition, a lot of the old monks really got into that stuff. It's there, but it's a bit gruesome. Okay. So, let us now chant the verses of sharing an aspiration. May through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessing of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss, and realize the deathless, through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize nirvana, in every kind of earth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and fear. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, and the surpass is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay. Can I ask one question, please?
Of course, yeah.
What's an upright mind? Well, what is not an upright mind?
Oh, okay. What's an upright mind? I think upright is just like, in English, it's kind of like.
When we're still lying down.
just send me the email to Adam Romali and get him to send me the translation. I think it just means just being upright, sort of like being right, being good.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's not.